is the victory. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled, the faith by which they conquered death. Amen. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road, the saints. My faith, they like a whirlwind's breath, swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still a shining shield. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall begin. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Good to see you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we ask every service to do this. We ask again this morning to speak to Brother Nichols, fill him with your power as he preaches in a little bit, be at the children's church out back. And Lord, if there is one lost, whether they're there or here, that you let them hear the gospel, make it be plain enough they understand. Lord, and today they receive you as their Savior. Bless the rest of the service in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated.
All right. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. The rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle, be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
So always a privilege to have folks visiting with us at Liberty Baptist Church, and I know we have some folks here today. If you're here for the first time or the first time in a long time, if you just slip your hand up for a moment, our ushers will come by and give you a visitor's card. Anyone like that? Good to have you, sir. Anyone else, first time or the first time in a long time? Anyone else? Don't want to miss anyone? All right. Several thanks as far as announcements, and then I'll get to the regular schedule this week. Don't forget to continue to pray for Vita Ruiz. She's been struggling again with her health. Again, she had been doing better. Now she's still struggling again. Be with Bill Lowry. He had a real tough week this week with his kidney issues. Speaking of kidney, Brother Moss has kidney surgery scheduled for the 22nd. That's Thursday of this week. They're going to go in, and he has to go in at 9:30, 11:30. They're supposed to start surgery. It's a 2-3 hour surgery, I believe, if I remember seeing right on the prayer chain. So pray for Brother Moss. They found out that he had cancer in one of his kidneys, so they're going to go in and remove that kidney to take care of the cancer. Continue to pray for Brother Wynn and his health issues, preacher and his family, and then if you keep me in prayer as well. Don't forget the regular stuff going on this week, which means tonight, 6 o'clock for the evening service, Wednesday night, 7:30 for prayer and Bible study. Tonight we'll have a few testimonies from the kids who went to youth conference. They went to youth conference Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then we'll have some more on Wednesday night. That way we don't take too much time away from the one preaching. We had several kids. Thank you for your prayer for them. They made it safely up there and safely back. One night they called me I'm a night person, so it didn't wake me up, but one night they called me like at midnight, and they said, "We're just leaving the ice skating rink." And I said, "What in the world are you doing leaving the ice skating rink at midnight?" Then they was up the next morning at 6 o'clock so they could be the first one for breakfast. And so I said, "How long was breakfast?" "From 6 to 9. I said, "I know what time I'd have got up. I'd have got up at about 8:30 and had breakfast at 8:45. But they said, "Well, we went and had breakfast, then we went back and took a nap." I said, "Someone has not taught you how to sleep. You don't get up, go eat, and then go back to sleep." Again, they had a safe trip up, safe trip back, some good preaching, and a lot of stuff going on. They have something like main event, and one night they went and played Laser Quest and other stuff, and the next night it was roller skating. It was ice skating, or they had what they call broom hockey. If you've ever played on ice in your regular shoes, you understand it is quite an experience. You usually end up not on your shoes, but on your rear on the ice. And so they was playing ice hockey with regular shoes and a broom. So they did that one night. So we'll have testimonies tonight from them, and you'll get to hear who the favorite speaker or message was. And I even heard the food was good, and that's always a plus. Sometimes at youth conference we don't have the best of food. Sometimes when you feed that many people, it's hard to do that. They had good food and all they could eat. And again, some of our kids can put the food away. So that's when we say all you can eat, that's quite a bit of food. We'll hear some testimonies tonight and Wednesday night. Thursday night, soul winning, 6:45. Friday night youth activity at 6 o'clock, 6 to 7:30 here at the church. Then Saturday bus visitation at 9:30, soul winning at 10:45. And again, back in our places for Sunday school, 9:45, church at 10:50. Don't forget to mark on your calendar October 3rd through the 6th. That's a Sunday through a Wednesday. That will be Brother Coral, Brother Dennis Coral, the evangelist that we have every year, will be coming to speak for us at that time. So he'll be speaking Sunday morning and Sunday night, and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings. So mark that on your calendar, October the 3rd through the 6th. And again, as I mentioned, especially pray for Brother Moss on Thursday, and keep Brother Lowry and Mrs. Vita Reese in prayer.
All right, let's all stand. We'll sing Footprints of Jesus. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go. Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountain, seeking his sheep, or along by Siloam's fountain, helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. everywhere they go. Then at last when he sees us, our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at his throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go.
All right, before we pray this morning, I just want to say thank you to the guys who came out yesterday on the work day. If you ever want to learn how out of shape you are, you can come dig a 40-foot trench that's 3 foot deep at 90-plus degree temperature. You'll find out real quick that you don't have as much energy as what you thought. Yeah. So you see the guys on the screen there. Appreciate all their hard work. And the fact that it was all mud. There was no dirt. So it had been really compacted and everything, so that made for a good deal. And then we fed them, and then we sent them back out in the sun. So they felt really good. And, of course, a few of us crazies got on top of the roof and sealed the roof. So hopefully the roof is all sealed up for at least the next 20 years. So I will not be getting up there in the next 20 years. So, or at least in 20 years, I won't be capable of getting up there. But we do appreciate all them coming out and all the hard work. We still got some more work to do. But our prayer is that we can get rid of the pond that we have over here in my right corner of the auditorium every time it rains. So, but once again, just thank the guys for coming out and taking care of that.
Ten toes on their feet. That's good, too, because when they're dealing with picks, a lot of kids don't know how to use picks, and so thankfully we didn't get any toes yesterday.
We, if you've invested in ibuprofen, Tylenol, or Bengay or anything like that, you got your use last night because all of us took many of those when we got home last night. So, but we do appreciate their hard work. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning, Lord, and as always, we're just so grateful for all of your blessings to us and the things that you give to us, and pray that this offering this morning will help meet the need of our church. In Jesus' name, amen.
How many of you are grandparents, where the block is? I can tell you that one of the things that defines a grandparent over a parent, when the kids go to McDonald's or someplace and they order and they want something taken off or put on extra, you know what we tell them? Just pick it off when it gets here because we're not going to wait for a special order. But when you're a grandparent, you find out what the kids want, and then you get the plain McChicken because she didn't want anything on the McChicken, except, and then she wants ketchup, and then you get the pickles and ketchup and nothing else on the hamburger for them. And if you have to, even go to two different fast food joints, I mean, because one of them doesn't like the stuff at the other place. As a parent, it's like, hey, you either get something here or you're just going to starve to death. I mean, but as a grandparent, we want to make them happy because, you know, that's how grandparents are. So I had the granddaughters for the last few days. And so I realized that grandma used to do more stuff than I did because, like, baths. You know, I mean, if they get sweaty and dirty, I think about the bath, but if not, I don't think anything about it. But then, you know, when the girls mention, you know, we haven't bathed in a day or two, it's like, oh yeah, let's go take a bath. So, but that's the other thing about grandparents, we're a little forgetful as well. So.
right, day by day and with each passing moment.
Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Loving me is part of pain and pleasure, mingling rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. He fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure. Is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a Father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Romans 5:20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offenses might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The law shows our sin, our sinful condition, our lost state without hope. But thank God, where sin abounded, meaning to fill something up, grace did much more abound, not just fill it up, but fill it up to overflowing. God's unbounded and amazing grace.
Unbounded grace, it reached to me when hope was gone from view. In my despair, Christ came to me as he alone could do. Grace was for me the only way my guilt could find relief. My destiny was changed that day. I reached out in belief. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. I was blind, oh, but now I see. God's grace does not on me depend. It's Christ who is my stay. His love is offered without end. Praise God who paid man's way. When we been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to say
good morning. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8. And we'll begin reading with verse 41. And read down through verse 48. Luke 8 and verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. There's a big crowd of people here, and they're jostling against one another. Verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And we saw up in verse 42 that He was thronged by the people in the crowd, and this woman came up and touched his garment. I'm going to speak to you for a little while this morning on the subject, touching Jesus on a crowded street. Now, Father, we're grateful for the privilege of coming to church this morning, and Lord, it's my duty now to preach your word, and I want to do a good job, and Lord, I want to speak clearly, and I want everyone to understand, and Lord, I want Jesus to be uplifted and glorified, and any person who might be with us this morning who may never have trusted Christ as their own personal Savior, I pray that they'll come to him today and be saved. And I pray that the Word of God will be a blessing to your people. Please help now by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting in studying the Gospels how many people were saved and how many lives were touched by Jesus. It would appear almost incidentally, while Jesus was just passing by or while he was doing something else, somebody would come up and they'd get saved and get healed. We see this again and again. For example, in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, we're told in that account that Jesus was teaching in the temple area, and a crowd was coming down the street. They got there, and the reason they were coming to Jesus is because they had a woman with them who was taken in adultery. Now, that woman had not intended that day to go to Jesus, but before the day was through, she had met him and trusted him and been saved. In Luke chapter 18, we have a similar account. Jesus was going toward Jericho from where he would journey to Jerusalem. There was a fellow sitting by the highway side begging. His name was blind Bartimaeus. Now, he was not expecting Jesus to come that way, but when he did, Bartimaeus got saved and healed that day. We have another story in Luke chapter 19. Jesus is going through Jericho. There was a crooked little publican tax collector named Zacchaeus who was there in town. He'd heard about Jesus and he wanted to see him, but he was a short little fellow, so he couldn't see over the heads of the people standing in front of him. So Zacchaeus went on up the street a ways and climbed up a tree so he could see Jesus out of this tree. He didn't expect Jesus to stop, but Jesus did stop and called for him, and so Zacchaeus was saved and his life was changed on that day. And so what I'm saying to you is that we see this a number of times in the Bible where people come in contact with Jesus and get saved or get healed. Almost incidentally, while Jesus is doing something else, they show up and Jesus does what they need. Now, here in Luke chapter 8, we have another case of a woman who was saved and healed in a most unexpected fashion. Now, the incident that we read here in Luke chapter 8 is also recorded in Matthew chapter 9 and in Mark chapter 5. And in all three cases, the story of the woman with the issue of blood is told as a sidelight of the main story. It's inserted into the story of Jesus raising the daughter of Jairus. Now, this is one of three people that we're specifically told that Jesus raised from the dead during his earthly life and ministry. Now, he raised more than that, I believe, but those are three whose names are given that we're told specifically that Jesus raised from the dead. One of them was Lazarus in the town of Bethany. Another one was the son of the widow of Nain. And then the third one was this 12-year-old daughter of Jairus. Now, Jairus, he was a very influential man. He had this daughter who was 12 years old, and she was dying. And in fact, by the time the events of the story took place, she did die. Well, while she was sick, Jairus went to Jesus and asked him to come and heal his daughter. Jairus had heard the stories of the great miracles that Jesus had performed. He had heard of Jesus opening the eyes of the blind. He had heard of him unstopping the ears of the deaf. He had heard of him casting out demons. He had heard of him healing the sick. He had heard of him cleansing lepers. And so Jairus thought, well, good night. If Jesus can do all these things, then if I can just get him to come to my place, he can take care of my daughter like he's taking care of all these other people. And so Jairus asked Jesus to come, and as Jesus is passing through the streets, which are thronged with people who had heard that he was in town, in this crowd is someone else who had heard of the great miracles which Jesus had performed, and this woman had a personal need. She had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years. She's consumed with the thought, if I can just touch the border of Jesus' robe, I'll be healed. And so she came up behind Jesus in the crowd, reached out her hand, touched the hem of his garment, and immediately, the Bible says, the hemorrhaging stopped and the blood flow ceased and she was cured. You know, I've often tried to picture that woman as she got out of bed that morning, not expecting anything special on that day, just as she had done every morning for the past 12 years. But then she heard that Jesus was in town, and so she went to him with her problem. And that night she went to sleep with her body cured of the disease, and never again did she wake up in the morning with an issue of blood. She had not expected that day to be any different from any other day, but her entire life was changed on that day when she came in contact with Jesus, the Son of God. Now, there may be people with us here this morning who did not get up this morning and come to church expecting to get saved today. You may have come because somebody invited you. You may have come because a bus worker knocked on your door and invited you to come on their bus. You may have come because you happened to drive by the building, saw the church building during the week, and decided that you'd come see what goes on here. You may have come because you know somebody who went here, and so you got curious about it. But for whatever reason, what I'm saying is that some of you came this morning not really expecting to get saved and not even thinking about it, maybe. You expected to come and hear some songs and this and that. You did not come expecting anything really special to happen. But my hope is that before you leave here today, you might have an experience that'll change your life like the life of this woman was changed when she came in contact with Jesus. Because if you come in contact with Jesus, he'll do the work that needs to be done. I remember the day I was saved, March the 24th, 1976, when I was 18 years old. And I got up that morning, not expecting anything to happen unusual, but when I went to bed that night, my life had been transformed because I met Jesus that day. Now, in the story of the woman with the issue of blood is a beautiful picture of a sinner and his salvation. And so I want to point out a few things about this. Notice with me, first of all, please, her condition. Verse 43 says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any." This woman's condition was one which was hopeless from a human standpoint. Her affliction was incurable by human means and human methods. She had spent all her money and had ended herself in the despair of poverty, trying to find some doctor who could cure her affliction, but she couldn't be cured by human means. You know, there are some things which humans can't do anything about. We think we have advanced so far that we're at the point now that we can handle anything that comes along. But I'm telling you, there are some things that man has no control over and no ability to do anything about. About 115 years ago, an event took place that's known as the San Francisco earthquake. And when that quake hit San Francisco that morning, man was absolutely helpless as bodies were crushed and fell from buildings and cars drove off bridges and carriages and so forth. I'm saying nobody could do anything. That was something that nobody could do anything about. I remember reading about when the Titanic went down in April of 1912 and 1,500 people died. And I remember reading about one wealthy man, the ship was filled with wealthy people who had taken this maiden voyage. And this one rich man who had survived and was rescued, he was asked later, "What did you take anything from the cabin when you left?" They expected him maybe to say something about gold or silver or jewels or fine clothes or something like that. He said, "Oh, yes, I found one thing that I picked up," and expecting him to talk about gold and silver and that sort of thing. They asked him, "What was it that you picked up?" He said, "Well, as I was about to walk out the door, I turned and looked back, and I saw on a table an orange sitting there, and I picked up that orange and took it with me." When you get to that point, that's about all you can do. What I'm trying to get to you is that there are situations where man is helpless to do anything about it. And this woman had spent all of her money on doctors and found that they couldn't do anything to heal her. And this is the way that we are in our sinful condition. Hear me now. Humanly, there is nothing that we can do to change our sinful condition. Now, you may be able to change certain acts. You may be able to quit drinking and quit doping, quit your immorality and start going to church and start being nice to people. You do all these things on the outside, but the inside is still the same. You haven't changed the inside, and that's what needs to be changed. I read how that years ago there was a big flea market over in Houston, and there was a man, he was something of an entertainer, but he would go to this flea market, and he had a pet lion. Now, if you want to give me something for a pet, don't give me a lion. This guy had a lion, and he would walk this lion on a leash. I have a hard enough time walking my dog on a leash, let alone a lion. But this guy, he would go out in the flea market, and he'd walk his lion back around, back and forth on his leash to entertain people. However, one day he was doing that and this lion attacked and mauled a child. Now, get this. He had dressed the lion up. Lion looked good on the outside. He'd fix him up. But he hadn't changed the wild nature that lived in the breast of that lion. And my sinner friend, hear me, you can dress the outside up, but you can't change your sinful nature. When the oil boom years ago was taking place in California, they had oil derricks set up all over the place out there. And, well, the people that lived in the area didn't particularly like looking out their door and seeing all these oil derricks out on the beach. And so the people who were drilling for oil were prevailed upon to do something about those derricks. And so what they did was they built just the outside part, I'm talking about, of an apartment complex that enclosed these oil derricks. Now, had you driven by there and looked, all you would have seen were these what looked like apartment buildings, and you might even have been impressed by that. However, if you had gone on the inside, you would see that it wasn't nearly as nice on the inside as it was on the outside. Now, hear me, my dear friend. You can dress up the outside by taking off some bad works and by adding some good works, but that doesn't change your basic nature, which is inside. And humanly speaking, there's nothing you can do to change your condition on the inside. No human can. This woman's condition was helpless from a human standpoint, as is the condition of the lost sinner. I call your attention, secondly, not only to her condition, but then to her cleansing. Verse 44, this woman came behind Jesus, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. While there was no help for this woman from a human standpoint, she knew where to go to find help. She had the thought in her mind, if I can get to Jesus and just touch the border of his garment, I'll be healed. And she was. Now, notice two things involved. First, her faith. In Matthew's account of this same story, we're told why this woman touched Jesus. Matthew 9:21 says, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. She had faith that Christ could meet her need, and that faith caused her to reach out to him. Somebody says, preacher, what is faith? God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13. Faith says, maybe I don't know everything about God and everything about the Bible, but God said if I would call on him, he'd save me. And then the person, God, please save me. And God does. That's faith. Faith is taking God at his word, doing what he says, and expecting him to honor it. That's what faith is. But we see not only her faith in focus here, we see her healing. She acted on her faith, touched the border of Christ's garment, and she was healed. See, God responds to faith. This is why a person who calls upon Christ for salvation, believing that he died for their sin and rose again, and believing that he'll save them if they'll put their faith in him, person who does that always gets saved. God has to respond to faith because he said he would in his word, so he either has to do it or has to lie, and God can't lie. You know, I like the word in verse 44, where she came behind him, touched the border of his garment, and here's the word, immediately her issue of blood stanched. I mean, immediately, the moment one reaches out to Christ in faith, they're answered. You can read in Matthew 14 the interesting story of the Apostle Peter and how the apostles were going across the Sea of Galilee, and in the middle of the night, well, really it says the fourth watch of the night, so it was after 3 o'clock in the morning, they looked out on the sea and see this figure coming toward them on the sea, and of course they're scared just like you would be, and They see this figure walking. First, they thought it was a ghost, and so they cried out for fear. But then the Lord Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. It's just me." And, well, that calmed them down. But Peter, you know, Peter, he saw Jesus walking on the water like that, and he said, "Well, Lord, if that's you, let me come and walk on the water like you're doing." Jesus said, "Okay, come ahead." And I've heard people all of my life criticize Peter for getting on the water and starting to sink. I've often thought, well, that may be true, but he was the only one that had the courage to get out of the boat. And so Jesus said, "Well, come ahead." So Peter got out of the boat, and for a few minutes, Peter was walking on the water. But then Peter took his eyes off Jesus and began to look around at the waves and the wind and all that, and grew afraid and started to sink. Doesn't take long to sink, by the way. Peter had long enough just to holler out one thing. He hollered out, "Lord, save me." That's about all he could get out, you know. And so when he did, Matthew 14 and verse 31 says that Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took him, lifted him up. And when I called upon Christ for salvation on March 24th, 1976, immediately I was saved. And you will be too. If you're not saved, if you'll come to Christ this morning and ask him to be your Savior and come into your heart, he'll save you right immediately. This woman had no hope, humanly speaking, but she found hope and help and cleansing in Jesus. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., who's been in heaven a good while now, since 1968, but he used to give his testimony of how he got saved when he was, I think he was a 9-year-old boy, somewhere in that 9, 10, 11-year-old range. And the preacher preached on this story, and he kept emphasizing that this woman had it in her mind that if she could just get to Jesus, Jesus could take care of her need. And that thought stuck in this little boy's mind. If that woman could get to Jesus and Jesus could take care of her, if I can just get to Jesus, he can take care of me too. And that day, Bob Jones walked the aisle, knelt at the altar, trusted Christ as his Savior, and he got saved that day. If you come to the Lord Jesus by faith, he'll save you too. Thirdly, let me point out her confession. There's a strange sequence of events starting in verse 45. "And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately." Jesus said, look at the crowd up here. Now, I don't know that the crowd, I'm sure they weren't dressed like that. Maybe they were, but I don't know if it was that big a crowd or how big, but the Bible says that the crowd thronged him, so it evidently was a pretty good crowd. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Well, there was this big crowd of people jostling against each other. He had probably been touched by many people, but Jesus knew that somebody had touched him in a special way with the touch of faith, and that power had gone forth from him and healed somebody. Now, why did Jesus ask this question? He already knew who touched him, so why did he ask? I'll tell you why. He wanted her to come forth publicly and profess what had happened to her. Jesus wants us to confess him publicly before men. In fact, he said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 22 and 23, he that confessed me before men, I'll confess before my Father which is in heaven. But he that denies me before men will be denied before my Father which is in heaven. And so, the way that the Christian confesses Christ initially after salvation is through deep water baptism. If you haven't been baptized since you were saved, I'm talking about baptized being dipped in the water, not sprinkled on your head. If you haven't been baptized since you were saved, you haven't been scripturally baptized. And so, her confession. And then I close with a final thought that I want to give to you, and that's a confirming. Verse 48. And he said, Jesus said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. So Jesus gives her assurance with these words and confirms the miracle that has happened to her. Now somebody might say, well, preacher, how can I know that I'm saved? You can know by taking God's word on it and believing what he said. There was a young lady that had been saved at the church I was working in Oklahoma City. Her name was Mona. I can't remember what her last name was, but I do remember her first name was Mona. And Mona had been a hippie sort of chick, but she got saved and God changed her life. That's what God does when he saves somebody. But Mona had trouble with the assurance of her salvation. You've known people like that. Maybe you've been like that. But she was troubled about her assurance. I mean, she was saved, but she couldn't get it planted deeply in her mind that she was saved. Some of you have had doubts about your salvation. You know what I'm talking about. And so she had some of these doubts. And so the preacher asked me if I could deal with her about her doubts, and I did. And I gave her a verse that, I mean, light flooded her soul when I showed her this verse. The verse is Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. And I asked her, Mona, have you done what the Lord said you have to do to be saved? She said, yeah, I've asked Christ to save me. I said, so you've trusted Christ. I said, now look at this verse with me. And I turned to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 and read to her the verse that says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And I showed her that verse and I said, you see, Mona, according to this verse, God can't lie. Now, if you trusted his son as your Savior, that's what he said a person has to do to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, God said he would save you if you did that. And the Bible tells us that God can't lie. Now, if you called upon Christ in sincerity and trusted him as your Savior, God had to do one of two things. He either had to save you, because that's what he said he'd do, or he had to lie, because he said he would save you, and if he didn't save you, then he lied. And as I said, light flooded into her face. She got the assurance of her salvation that day, and you can get the assurance of your salvation today if you'll simply believe what God says in his book and do what he says, and I hope that you will.
Preacher mentioned that he got saved as a young man.